You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies, our Hop Up podcast for episode 11. I am Brian Cohn. You're in the, as always, my co-host, Alice here. Hi, how are you?
Brian, I feel like I've been gone for like 50 days. Like, I leave for 1 week and I come back to a completely different season of this show.
Yeah. It's episode two. I misspoke. We're on episode two of the team's portion of Spies, Lies, and Allies.
It's so funny because, like, listening to Mari and you do the podcast over the last week, it's like, I imagine if you had kids, you'd like really want to make sure your baby was in good hands. Listening to Mari was like, maybe my kid would be better in her hands full time. It's like, I loved
it. That's how I felt about Jacob Jones. So maybe Jacob Jones and Mari should just do the podcast.
No one would be upset. Not a single person would be upset. Least of all us.
You know, it's funny. For a while through COVID, we were in a pretty good groove of, like, always being on together. And now over the last month, we've just been, like, all over the place between our own episode, each of us being out. I feel like, we're off kilter a little bit. We need to, like, recenter going into the final stretch here.
All right. I mean, we're back. I don't have plans. I mean, knock on wood. I feel like now that we've said it, we're never going to be on another episode.
Right. Well, I also said Ruby would never win, and then they almost won. So, yeah, I guess I should stop talking right now.
I have a few things I need to catch up on from last week.
Yeah, please.
Part of me was grateful I didn't have to come and, like, really weigh in on this and, like, leave it to you and Mari to, like, sort through the completely new format of the show. I think it goes without saying, I absolutely love it. I feel like we've been begging for, like, a sort of team reshuffling. It's almost like they've been watching Survivor for casting and they're like, how about we do a swap to three tribes? Like, I loved it. I love the colors. I know you guys are talking about the colors. I love Sapphire, Ruby, and Emerald. That sounds fun. I don't like blue, yellow, and green or whatever. Like, and Mari was referencing the tan and gold and silver. Like, finally, they have jewel tones. I'm here for it. You guys touched on this last week, but my real thought was, how did they get Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald wardrobe? And you guys were saying that they definitely, I was so glad when you talked about it, because that was like my biggest thing. I need to know this. If anyone's talked about it on a podcast and people have listened, let us know. I think they like had them bring clothes. Because, like, what are the odds that they have, like, racks rolled out and, like, these people who are, like, so vain, and I would be, too, like, on television are like, yeah, I'll wear this, like, one-size-fits-all Ruby t-shirt or whatever. And that's why I'm like, maybe were they anticipating this in some way? Like, you know how in Survivor they tell you, like, bring green clothes and, like, get those cleared. So I'm very curious, not just from a vanity perspective, but from a how much were they willing to anticipate? Like, we were told to pack Emerald, to submit Emerald, Sapphire, and Ruby clothes.
That would be really interesting if the challenge producer's preference sheet was bringing these color clothes. And that's like the next layer of the challenge. All right, what did the challenge tell us to bring? What does that mean for the season? Did they tell us to bring matching clothes? It's one person, pair season, a variety pack, free agents type season. That's the next layer.
So I'm curious about that. I also think this is going to sound like revisionist history, but that's the price I pay for not coming on. to me, like, in what world is there a team where Josh and Devin make up 2/5 of the team and Nani? So between Nani, Devin, and Josh are 3/5 of a team or 3/6 of a team. Mm-hmm. And that's considered the best team. Like, to me, I was so frustrated 2 weeks ago watching all of this Ruby hate because we talk about morale all the time. I think that's like 90% of the battle when you have people this good. There's nothing objectively wrong with the Ruby team. All of these, except for team chemistry and morale and the self-defeating prophecy that they are the Ruby team and they suck. And so I was really happy to see them rise to the occasion this week. Like, any given challenge, like this challenge, Emerald happens to win, but like, they suck at this. Like, they objectively, if you were to tell me which team was going to win this challenge, I'd put Emerald dead last.
Yeah, I think for Ruby, the biggest thing, I thought they were really lacking like the strength in their women with Big T, Emmy. They lost Priscilla last week. I thought that's really where they were most hurting. But obviously, yeah, on any given day, theoretically, any of these teams could win. But I thought for sure Ruby was a clear third. But it is surprising to see Emerald doing as well as they are. It is kind of stunning.
If anything, it's like, okay, the women are less experienced on Ruby. But if you're going to, I'm going to match Nani up with Big T. And then, right, Casey and Tori are powerhouses. But if you compare it to like their men, it's like, to me, it's like an Any Given Sunday type deal. So I was happy for Ruby to get their head in the game this episode. We'll talk more. And the last thing from last week I want to talk about.
Yep.
And I think it comes full circle with Nelson and Corey ending up on the same team later in this episode. But Nelson and Corey have this conversation of, oh, we're strategic, we're going to split up. But to me, if you're one of six on a team, you can't protect anyone. If you're two of six on a team, now you can, now you're throwing your weight around voting wise in deliberations and stuff like that. So my question is, like, is it better to divide up your alliance or is it better to get all of your alliance on a team so that you can make moves?
It's tough. I don't know if there's a clear answer. I really think it really depends on like how many people you are. I think if you're a small crew, it probably is better to all be in one place. But I think if you have pairs in a few spots, then that could influence. Like if you have tentacles that could reach other teams, and even if you have a few other people that can reach. But if it's just Corey and Nelson, if it's just them, then it is probably does make more sense to be on the same team. So you just go all in together. But I also see the logic of, because especially before we knew the rules of this setup, it does make sense to kind of separate and then go from there. So I don't know. I don't think there's like a clear answer to that.
All right. I'm sure we'll keep talking about it as the season goes on. I mean, I think the point gets made later that like, I think someone asked a question about this. We'll get to, but Corey and Nelson are on the same team. Is probably good considering they're the bottom of the Vet Alliance. Whereas, like, as you're saying, if you're in the just majority Vet Alliance, CT, Kyle, Devin connects to Big Brother, connects to Tori, like, then it's probably good to have. I mean, then you're automatically spread out because you're just huge.
Yep.
All right. Well, again, I'm glad I only had to talk about the major twist for 7 minutes of this podcast. How are you?
I'm good. That was an okay episode, so I'm not like super happy because it wasn't that fantastic of an episode. And I say this every week, I'm a broken record. I just don't understand what these people are doing with CT anymore. So I'm watching this in disbelief every week. But you know, so good, kudos to him. He's probably gonna win the show again, and here we go. That's where I stand.
Well, this is interesting because now that they know, so like the episode opens with them saying, like, okay, like now that we know people can switch teams, we don't want to just be sending in quote layups, although query whether anyone's like a true layup anymore in just the entire series of the challenge. For new viewers, like, you have no idea who used to be on these shows when we talk about layups.
Like, the layups on this season would have layups that they could pick from.
There are people that, like, maybe Brian and I had a chance against in an elimination. So. but it just frustrates me, and Mari raised this last week, but it's, and we've raised it a million times. If they knew the rules last week, I don't know that they would have sent Priscilla in. I think the entire Ruby team would have been safe, because as we see this week, like, the agency does not want to put in a weak person who, if they win, will come upset the apple cart of their team, which Priscilla would have 1,000% done.
But Priscilla's not a weak person. Like, I don't think anyone would be super pissed that Priscilla was coming on to their
team.
Not
weak. I think, sorry, I said that wrong. I think, and it's funny, I did this in a chat with Brian Scali recently too, where I just said weak, meaning like the Emerald team does not want anyone to come and infiltrate any of their players. I don't really understand why, but okay. They're morale wise, they're good with their team. So the only way for that to happen is this, a Sapphire person wins and rejoins their team like Ashley did, and they got insanely lucky, because I think anyone on Ruby would infiltrate. So in that sense, they wouldn't take someone from the weaker squad and put them in. I mean, maybe they would think if they put in Ashley, Ashley would call out Priscilla or Emmy or Big T anyway, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But again, I just want people to know the rules so they can strategize around it.
Yeah,
and as we saw them do this week.
But it didn't happen this week, but I almost think there could be an argument the other way where you really should vote in someone strong, CT. So if they win, maybe they'll come to your team. I think there's like that counter argument that I really haven't seen yet. I feel like I'm waiting for like maybe Emerald to be like, you know, like Josh is like, you know, people like him here, but he also kind of sucks. So maybe someone will come swap with him and make our team even better.
Yeah, I was going to say when you're coming from like, oh, CT is going to win, I think CT is highly likely to be getting tossed in, especially from a team like Sapphire that's majority women. If they're in power, like the men might not want to vote them in because I guess they wouldn't be able to put, my brain's not working, it's late. I was going to say they wouldn't be able to put in CT, but if another team becomes majority women, let's say, because the disadvantage of throwing in CT is he could pick you. Like, oh no, sorry, I keep thinking because the agency is not safe from being infiltrated that they're also not safe from being called down, but they are. So yes,
right,
back to the original point, I think CT is more likely to get tossed in this format than almost any other format he's ever been in before.
And yet,
for exactly skates, why you said,
yeah, but he skates by here safe the next week. They're, as he said, they have a good team. They're going to win. It's crazy. I don't know why like the logic was it's those rookies. I thought this Vet Alliance was completely done and buried based off how the last couple weeks have gone. I can't believe they're still sticking with it. Maybe they're thinking the final is sooner than we think we know it is. So they're thinking, oh, let's just see if we can just get all the vets to the final at this point and then just shake it out from there. But at that point, shouldn't you want to set yourself up with the best chance to win? So I don't understand why we're still doing this. Let's get the rookie out. That's all we're focused on. Not like, how can we best set ourselves up to win a final or move forward in this game?
I also think Emerald thinks they're better than they are. The Emerald team thinks they are so good. And I do think if they think they're going to run a final together, that they would win even with CT on the other team. And it's like, didn't everyone see War of the Worlds? Like when CT won with the Misfit team of the UK team, like I don't understand why they're underestimating that literally CT could carry the entire team on his back. And he doesn't even have to, because he's got decent people with him. It's not even right. Like, and he's got dead weight on his team.
And like, I know for this week, they must be thinking, all right, if we call in CT, Logan's hurt, it could be an easy win. But at the same time, it's like, this is why, first of all, they should have been calling him all along, because you're going to run out of chances and just, you got to just take a chance. Like, you don't know, maybe CT will want to take someone else out, or maybe he's closer with Logan than you think. Or now if he calls out Logan, then that team is, you know, down to two guys and he's going to want to flip from that. So like, there's reason, or Logan's on a different team, but like, there's, you just have to like just roll the dice sometimes, and they just refuse to do it. And their big roll in the dice is Ed and then just knocking out a rookie.
I think that's a really good point, but I also think it's more of a reason to put in Ed and not CT, because I think CT's 1,000%. Look, CT's like Ashley. He's been humbled. He lost to Jay. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he's threatened by anyone enough to feel like I need any of these guys out, so I got to take him out in elimination. So he would take Logan, and I don't think he'd feel bad about it in the slightest.
No, he wouldn't.
He even says, you know, the rookies play with emotions. Like, I don't give a crap. Like, I, you know, whatever. And so in that way, you know, the Ruby team, while Logan was an asset to the Ruby team this time, you know that Logan is an injured member of the Ruby team, and Ed is promising to not take him out. So either way, you're going to lose a healthy person in Ed or whoever he calls out in Corey or Kyle. So maybe in that case, this is the better move to wait on CT.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense this time around, but it just more so, it adds credence that there are certain scenarios where you don't vote in CT, but there have been scenarios where you have to vote him in and they just haven't taken it. So now it's like you back yourself into a corner. So you just have to do it now.
Do you think there's a world that Devin could have manipulated CT to pick Ed to pick CT? A la Priscilla picking Ashley.
Yeah, I think Ed was open to basically anything. You know, if someone got in his ear and tried to chirp at his ego, being like, oh, if you know, this is your chance to make a name for yourself. You're going to set yourself up for a better chance of coming back next season, better chance of winning this season. If you pull it off, it'll be such an epic moment. I do think Ed would potentially be open to that. If it's not just Devin, even if a couple other people got in his head, too.
Yeah, all right, we'll talk more about the Ed thing later, but I want to talk, this sort of bleeds in from last week, the Nani and Ashley conversation. You know, Ashley was going off, and I loved listening to you read the tweets, so it was very funny. You should do it more often. But Ashley really was going off last week about how betrayed she felt by watching Nani and the others in the confessional sort of, like, conspire against her or, like, not root for her. But then, you know, in real life, they message her, like, oh, we love you, we love you. That irritated me so much, even last week, because I was like, those are not mutually exclusive. Like, Nani was like, I don't want to see her in a final, in the confessionals. And Ashley plays, I think it's the only card really in her arsenal of, like, we're friends, so you can't betray me. So however far that will get me, because otherwise I don't have a leg to stand on, because you're right, you can't beat me in the final. But then I saw this scene, and Nani is saying to her face, like, yeah, it was really cool to watch you be loyal to your team. You know, I kind of always worry you're going to F me over. She says it to her face that she doesn't trust you. So again, it just made this, like, whole Twitter thing that Ashley went on last week even ring even more hollow, because it's not real. Like, to me, it's like, I don't actually even think she's upset about it. I think it's just she, like, garners sympathy for it. But I don't think any of the hate that she's putting out to Nani or anyone else is remotely deserved.
Yeah, and I was glad Nani at least was honest here, because it was super awkward, the fact that there was the confessional basically to end last week of Nani being like, oh, I'm, like, low-key rooting against Ashley, and then Ashley here is like, oh, it was so nice to have people rooting for me. So at least Nani was, like, honest. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I was rooting for you, which maybe was, like, the smarter move, but it was interesting to hear her at least voice her actual feelings in some regard to her, straight to her face.
Right. And it just made even the tweets be like, did you not watch the scene? No one watches the show. So it's like, they're not even watching this. I feel like they're just complaining about it. But
the only one who does is Amanda. Amanda's tweets are, like, the greatest things ever.
But we got Nelson's workout plan earlier in the season. Now we get Corey's workout plan, Corey's boot camp. Caitlin G says, was the Ruby workout scene the height of comedy?
It was pretty fantastic. The fact that Corey was living off that high. He's going to live off. If they had won this challenge, Corey would have been talking about this boot camp turnaround for, I think, the rest of his life. The way that Amanda talks about, or the way Ashley has to talk about stealing the money, this would be Corey saying, like, oh, I got the Ruby team hyped up enough to win a challenge because we did a boot camp, even though Big T can't do midday workouts, which I totally respect. It's probably super hot out. But yeah, it was a very funny scene.
It's crazy to me, again, like, I feel like I have to orient myself of, like, we're watching the challenge. It is wild that, like, anybody is perceived as weak on this show, because, like, compared to the average person, they are in better physical shape than, like, 90% of America. Like, the idea that you would look, and again, physical health is not all about how you look, but the idea that you would look like Big T and Emmy and Kyle, and, like, the gag would be you working out, is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all extremely fit people.
And it's, I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to shake it, but Kyle always being referred to as, like, a goofy person. Like, he's, like you said, he's, like, one of the strongest people there. And you always forget how tall he is. He's got to be, like, 6'3" or 6'4". Like, he's a massive human being. So him always being talked about as, like, this goofy person, I guess it's his personality, but, like, he's one of the strongest people there.
It's, again, it's, like, compared to the field, but, like, compared to the average person, like, I would see Kyle in the street and cower. Like, forget the tattoos. Right. Like, forget the back of the skull tattoo. It's, like, his sheer size.
And you would see him coming from a mile away from the smile.
Exactly. In the dark.
Mm-hmm.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time. No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Do we know that Logan's like official injury was that he tore his hamstring last week? That's pretty serious.
No, I don't think. I thought when he first happened, you mentioned he hurt his knee while running, which I guess the hamstring makes more sense that he would do that while running. But no, they kind of just indicate that it was like a knee thing. But yeah, that's pretty bad.
I was then shocked at his challenge performance, which we'll get to. But I don't know how long a hamstring injury takes to heal. But whatever Logan's stock was at, I have to imagine it has plummeted to like 0.1.
Yeah. And I wonder, I mean, why is he still in? Like if he's, I mean, I guess he was able to do this challenge, so he's clearly okay enough, but he seems like he himself is pretty concerned about it. He's like, I'm definitely not physically ready to do an elimination. So I think we've seen people be pulled for other stuff. So well, I don't know. Why is he still here?
I mean, I think to the extent that he's not at risk of losing his leg over it, and it's not like a brain injury, right? Like a J or whatever. So I think we're going to see this bear fruit either where he pulls himself as like, it's like Missy on Survivor, right? Like to the extent that you can participate. But then if you can't, we might see him pull himself because you said he's like concerned about it. But if he's well enough to be jumping beam to beam over, you know, 30 feet in the air over water, it's sort of hard to gauge how bad of an injury it is.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. He does add stuff with his commentary and the way he was talking with that and stuff. So he does add other stuff, but it just sucks because he was a pretty good player contestant that I was excited that he was still here. And it just really sucks that he's not his full strength.
I like player contestant.
Yeah, I didn't know what word to say. I couldn't think of the word.
All right, we get to see a player contestant from The Circle. Did you watch Ed and Tammy season from The Circle?
I did.
I didn't really remember Tammy. I mean, I knew Ed had like a southern blonde mom, but it was like cute to see her here.
Yeah, I mean, this was a wild segment. I mean, I thought every single person was going to get a FaceTime. It was like, this is the whole episode? Everyone's going to call back home, see what's going on? We got like, I think we got four or five of them. It was crazy. Like, what are we doing?
We later got a question that I'm going to pull now. Josh Creek says, are the extended flex montages before the elimination the surest sign for their episode should be an hour long instead of 1:30? To me, the like 15 family videos at this stage were the indication that this episode should have been way shorter.
Yeah. And they have no problem going to an hour sometimes when like there's not much to show, or theoretically not much to show because they've done it before. This episode should have been an hour. There was no reason to get all these different FaceTimes. Like, what do we need? We need to have Ed's mom pop up. Like, congrats. We needed to, like, some of them just save these for the next time when it's more important. Like, what do we need? Like, the Big T one. Like, what did that do? Just because she's, like, fell super hard, so she needed, like, to pick me up earlier in the episode? Like, what was that for? I don't know. Yeah. What are these FaceTimes?
I like to know. I liked Kyle's, where he gets to see the ultrasound from Vicky.
Yeah, that was very nice. That was beautiful.
It's nice to see Kyle like break down, and then he has this fun conversation with Amanda talking about her pregnancy. And it's like really wild. I'd be curious to know, like, okay, so we started watching the challenge, give or take, when we were what, like 13, 14. It's like very funny that sort of the content of the show has grown as we've grown to like, yeah, like we have friends or might be in a position where we're talking about this kind of thing. What are the 13, 14-year-olds thinking now? Are they just not watching?
Yeah, I don't. Actually, I don't know. I feel like they've done pretty well with like the younger crowd. I don't know. I would love to. Yeah, I think they're watching.
This was like a full circle moment to me that like I forget that like we are the exact age to have grown up literally with the challenge where it used to be just like more reckless, like drinking. Not that we were doing that at 12 or 13, but like more just like antics. And now that it's more of like a serious show and they have families and Corey's looking at pictures of his kids and like that. Yeah, like we're the perfect demographic for the show.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, back in the day, once you got pregnant, like that was it for you in the challenge. They wouldn't call you back. I feel like I can't remember anyone but prior to like 6-7 years ago talking about having kids on the show. That's like really anyone. Yeah, it's been a transformation.
Speaking of people I don't need them to call back, the relationship between Emmanuel and Tori, not that I don't want them back, but yes. I don't want them back as a couple. I do not ship.
No, don't ship.
What's the opposite of ship? I anchor them.
I think that's good.
I capsize them.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, it's not great. And I don't understand how MTV has not pulled the Emmanuel Jordan comparison.
Give me the side by side people. Yeah, give me the side by side.
Like they're not done with Jordan. Spoiler alert: All Stars 3. So he's not off like their network of shows. So how we've not gotten a confessional from Kyle or Devin? Be like, there really is something very familiar about Emmanuel. And boom, boom, and then just it's crazy.
And even their relationship dynamic, like, I feel like there has to be a scene of like Jordan in a wig and heels. Like, they're so goofy together. Like the way Emmanuel says, like, I like her because she's just so weird. Like, that was their shtick. I mean, that's always sort of Tori's shtick. She just is weird. But the whole thing is like really deja vu.
Hopefully Emmanuel doesn't start fighting with like Josh with holding a big piece of sausage in a bunker somewhere.
Hopefully Emmanuel doesn't do a lot of things that have you heard the rumor that Jordan is dating Naya now?
I have heard that. I feel like I heard that a while ago. Is that still like a rumor that it's happening now? I thought I heard that like 6 months or a year ago. Although I
saw an article from September because I was Googling like Jordan in a wig, the challenge. Cause I was like, I swear they've done this before. Mm-hmm. And, like it came up an article in September that like Jordan did an interview with like Danny Pellegrino that was like, yeah, I'm dating someone that like you might recognize. And then I was like, okay, who is this? And I was like, Jordan girlfriend. And it was like from September. And I was like, very Catherine Dennis Calhoun for any Southern Charm fans. Anyway, we could tweet about it later. We being me in the audience who gets it.
Right. Ugh. Sorry. No, but definitely that we shipwreck Tori and Emmanuel. I've been finding Tori more likable, like not in these scenes. And again, this is really jumping ahead, but they keep dropping these moments in for Tori where like, she gets like the final word on things and always reflecting on how this is going to impact her game. Like we saw at the end of this episode, she had the final thought of like, I don't remember what she said, but it was just talking about like, oh, this could really be good for my game, like keeping the team together. Like, I really think we're setting up for Tori being part of like maybe Tori and CT winning. There's something that's up for Tori to win because they keep dropping these things, always reflecting back to her.
Look, I could see it because like, let's look at the field. Like Casey is like extremely well regarded and I think it's deserving. Right now they're on the same team. Maybe they both win, you know, like who knows? But Casey has weaknesses also, right? So she's not infallible. She's not CT. You know, she can be beaten. I think Tori could stand a chance against her. Then there's Ashley, who I think is great, but I think overrated as like a huge threat. Like, I think Tori also has a chance against her. I also don't see a world where Ashley makes the final. I think people's guns are pointed at her for too long for her to survive through. I'd be happy to be wrong, but it's possible. I give Tori the complete edge over Amanda, although I'd be rooting for Amanda more. It's not even in the conversation of Tori against Emmy, Bettina, Nani, and Big T. And how about that? I just named all the women without looking.
Very impressive work.
Thank you so much. It's almost like I'm supposed to pay attention to the show. Right? So I think your reading of the edit is great, but I also think just like reading the people, yeah, I think there's only maybe two people who could give her a run for her money.
Yeah. So we're down to, what was it, 2655? Those are the, right? So it's, what is that? Like 16 people? So episode 11, what did I say? There's 19 episodes. So I would say maybe we lose three more guys, three more girls, probably.
Which should take you down to how many?
That would take us down to 10. Which I feel like sounds right for a final. They could set up for 5 pairs, lose one or two
in the beginning. Well, how do you think we're running this? Do you think we're running it in teams? Do you think we're running it in pairs? Do you think you're running individual?
My gut says pairs, but I would love if they kept the teams and had it be teams, but I feel like they're going to do another shakeup. It's easy, but got to keep you on your toes. Or maybe it'll be individual at that point. But I do hope they keep these teams because that'll add credence to like switching teams and stuff.
Yeah, my preference would be teams. Second would be individual. My least interesting thing would be pairs, but I could see the symmetry of like you started in pairs, we're going back to pairs. Because then it's like, how do they pair up? Like almost any way they decide to pair up, I'll have a problem with. So it's either like go to individual or run it in these teams.
Yeah. So look out for pairs in the final.
All right, let's talk about this sponsored challenge.
Yeah, P3, portable protein snack. I was stunned. I was waiting for the Burger King sponsorship, since that's the only one that they usually get nowadays, but it was not.
What about Essentia?
Did they have that?
The
last
water.
Season?
The water.
Okay. Well, I could have had that. I was looking forward to the Burger King one, though.
Will Kyle Picard try P3 protein snacks and get back to us like he did about Pepsi Mango?
Maybe you're supposed to blend it in the Pepsi Mango, make it a full slushy of disgustingness.
You're not supposed to do that.
It's satellite sabotage. Classic challenge they've done before. We had to jump from plank to plank above the water. This time, the other teams get to shoot you with a giant water hose. And also, the winners get a cash prize that was eventually determined to be $3,000 a person.
See, I thought of you when I was watching this because... like we talk about this when it's a guy, girl, when it's like in this case, it's a guy's elimination. So we see Ashley and we see Bettina just give up immediately. They don't even try. They're like, goodbye, hold my nose into the water. And there's literally no incentive for someone like that to participate, except if you have. And I feel like you've said this a lot. Give us a cash prize. Give a reason to participate. What does the prize have to be? I mean, should they have told them what it was? Is $3,000 more than some ambiguous cash prize? Or did they think that was not enough to get them to participate?
Yeah, I don't know why they have to keep it secret. I would think that even just getting $500, anything would make these people participate. It would take a little bit extra, even if it's like a free meal, like a bar night. I don't know. I feel like you give anything, any extra incentive other than just, you know, you're not available to be eliminated, I feel like would help. So I wonder also the fact that they only got like only CT made it amongst their guys. So they were both probably like, well, I'm probably not going to make it. So I might as well just fall off calmly rather than risking it like Big T. So I think that probably also played a part. But yeah, I don't know why they couldn't just reveal what the prize was ahead of time.
I did really like this challenge, though. I think it was maybe my favorite in the last X episodes. As you said, it's not really reinventing the wheel. But again, I like that we only had to see it 3 times. I like that we knew exactly like how many plugs the last team had so we could be following it. I liked seeing the different strategies. I think the Ruby team had the best strategy to leave Logan behind, not only to guide the women and encourage them and tell them when to jump, as we saw, but I guess the thought was, if we're so far ahead, I won't participate. But if I need to participate, I will, which I thought was really smart.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And usually when they do those types of things where like the other teams get to either throw like dodgeballs at the people or shoot them with water, like usually those things don't matter at all. Like they're usually pretty easily to avoid. It did seem like this played a factor in knocking people off. And I did enjoy how much fun everyone was having while doing it. So I thought that added like an extra layer to it.
Nelson saddling up on the hose, doing his little ride. I agree. And I think they did a great job of showing us the effect too, like using the GoPros and being like Devin's cam and Josh's cam. And like, you really couldn't see. So that like, we were able to appreciate at home how much of a difference it was making.
Yeah. Even like right at the end where I think it was Casey was like, all right, let me just wait for like the water to finish and then I'm going to make the jump. And like, it was clearly like, oh wow, that was like, you could see so much clearer when the water was passing by that it made a big difference. So I would say this was one of their better challenges they've done.
Now that we've been kind. So Kyle messes up, right? He does not take the leap of faith. He does not pay attention. He does not understand the assignment and he blows it for the Ruby team. However, I thought, okay, the Ruby team got 2 legitimately. The Emerald team got 2. it will come down to some professional calculation of how far everybody else also got. And when they say that it comes down to who did it the quickest, I was like, I have two thoughts on this. One, was the Emerald team, was it quickest in terms of total time for the whole team? I was like, that's bullshit, because it's just they're rewarded for their first three people dropping quickly. Mm-hmm. Was it just based on the heats of the people who pulled the plugs? And either way, the fact that the Ruby team has to play man down is such bullshit to me, I can't even get started.
Yeah, so a few things. First of all, 100% agree about the man down, but that was something that like the challenge has done forever. So like I was fully expecting this to continue.
Well, sometimes they've had like Darrell runs twice or something, right? Hasn't that happened before? They've never sat someone out, but they've definitely had people on a... I remember Darrell doing something twice, but that's
They have done that. Yeah, they have done people doing twice. They never had people sitting out, which I don't know why they couldn't do. I feel like just sit out so they're down a girl. So just have everyone sit out a girl and make it even. I don't know why they couldn't just do that, especially with teams. Like you see that in many other competition shows. But yeah, I don't like that they do that, but I didn't even bat an eye about that. And I think for the time portion, I thought it was just the total time of the people going, like everyone going. So that's why I thought, oh yeah, people falling super quick. No, I feel like, oh, like if you put like a banana or something like that in that situation, he would have like gamed it and be like, all right, let's have a couple people just drop super quick to quick up our time. Because I feel like that's usually how they base things on, like the total team, not just the successful people.
Yeah, that's bullshit, though. You should not be rewarded for your team sucking. And to watch Nani and Josh, who suck so much. I'm sorry, I'm not normally this mad, but it's like, or this mean, but like, they blew it in this challenge. They suck. And they're out there pounding their chests. Oh, yeah. We're the best. We're so good. Our team chemistry is so good. Despite you. The team is good in spite of you. And, like, it would be good in spite of me, too. I would not be better. But, like, I also would just be quiet and appreciate that I have better people on my team. I was furious.
Yeah. At least for... Nani... Yeah, it shows. I felt Nani was more celebrating Casey for being so good, where Josh was celebrating him and the team, which rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe, again, this could just be my Josh anti-bias, but it felt like he was more puffing his chest out and Nani was more puffing Casey's chest out.
Agree at the challenge. Agree that Josh was way more annoying. Later, Nani and Josh are like taking their lead, celebrating themselves at the deliberation, and that annoyed me. But yeah, Michelle Mark, she said, why didn't Ruby get an extra turn? They had one less player and all the other teams had an extra chance to get a plug. I think, you know, you said it's happened before. Fair enough. You gotta make someone go twice. It's a disadvantage because they're tired. That's why I remember the Darrell thing. So I remember thinking like, and maybe that was just like there was an odd number of pairs. So he had to go for the other person to be able to go and get a time. And it was an individual game. Right. I'm not really remembering why he went twice, but just forget the challenge. If you want to have the team that has one less player weakened, they are automatically weakened by having someone go twice. Yes, they get experience, but they're also more tired and experience the fall and realize it hurt more. Like, I just think it's insane to have something determined by how many plugs you get and have them have one fewer team member.
So another thing I thought was interesting was normally, I think clearly the fact that Sapphire or Emerald won the last challenge, they got to pick the order. Clearly, I think they based it off Sapphire as their biggest competition. Put them first. Ruby sucks. Put them second. They'll go third. It was interesting, though, for this challenge, the way it played out. I mean, it didn't matter the way it played out. But theoretically, if you're constantly spraying these platforms with water, going first would almost be an advantage because they're less slippery. But it didn't matter. But I just thought that was kind of interesting how it could have played out, but didn't.
I thought that too, and we see CT as the only person to twinkle toes across without jumping like Frogger style beam to beam. So part of me did wonder, like, was he able to do that because it wasn't wet? But then I kind of didn't bat an eye at that because I was like, immediately they're hitting it with a hose. So like, to the extent that he has two beams dry, he's getting hit with the hose.
I also would think, you know, maybe the first time through, they don't really know how to use the hose properly. They're shooting it all over the place. By the time you get to the third time, everyone's use the hose, they might be better at it. But again, it didn't matter because they won and they went last. So what do I know?
All right. Aside from those frustrations, I felt so bad for Kyle here. I think he big botch. That's what we say in my family. He botched it. It was a botch. But he's scared of heights. I thought he did a great job considering he's scared of heights. And yeah, he chickened out. It was almost like Kendall in All-Stars when she like decides not to hop through the final board. But then she wasn't even penalized for it.
Yeah, it was a bummer. At least for this, normally when there's like these, not normally, but sometimes when there's these DQ situations, we're not fully clear of either what the rules are or why they DQ'd. But at least here, like, we knew as the audience when they were celebrating, okay, well, they didn't really win, or they might have won, but they didn't win the way they thought they won, because we knew Kyle's wasn't going to count. So at least it wasn't like a big surprise thing at the end. So that helps soften the blow, at least from the audience side of it. But for Kyle, it was super bomb. I mean, he wanted it, like, he felt so bad. He was like, oh, I cost my team all this money. I really let them down. And then freaking TJ just rubbing salt on the wound. Like, what the heck was that? Like, telling him you blew it. Like, he's freaking Billy Madison. That was kind of mean.
It was not good from him. I agree. That, like, upset me a little bit. Because Kyle's crying. It's not like Kyle's, like, making excuses. The one thing I'll say, and I agree, I liked that we understood the rules at least and weren't just, like, blindsided by it. Because they have to imagine the audience is probably... Like, even if you don't like the Ruby team, you have to be, like, rooting for the upset here, right? Against Emerald. But they did put a graphic up that said Ruby 3 out of 6 plugs. And I just think they shouldn't have put that graphic at all and left it ambiguous.
Put the little asterisk.
It should not be that, like, you've officially put it in the editing that it counted. Cause that's the only thing that made me think, like, well, maybe he didn't, like, cause I forgot, like, I didn't go back and listen to them read the rules.
Right. Yeah, it was almost when the time they announced the DQ, it was like so obvious it was a DQ that, yeah, I was thinking, oh, maybe like it wasn't a DQ and he just like outsmarted the game a little bit and he's gonna be like, and Kyle, you did it the fastest, so congrats on the win, or something like that. But no, that did not work out.
Later we get everyone speculating on who's going to be sent in. You have a mostly unintelligible conversation between CT, Ed, and Nelson. Like, when CT and Ed are in the same conversation, I'm picking up only every word Nelson is saying. I cannot understand.
Right. Yeah, Ed, the thinks he's going in. It's a rookie, and I couldn't believe that this was like the topic of conversation. I thought this rookie thing was dead and buried based on the last couple of weeks, but nope, we are still here.
I thought there was also maybe a negative one, like a 1% chance that Kyle was going to be like, I feel so guilty, put me in. But again, that's the difference between veterans and rookies. Like, right. Kyle, I'm glad he didn't do that. But I did die at his confessional. He's like, people are looking at me like I'm a 3-course lunch. Like, I'm dying. I'm dessert. Like, I can't, obviously, this audience knows I can't do accents, but just the way he said, lunch.
It's amazing. Kyle's, I feel like every time Kyle has like a big episode, I feel like I say this, but it is amazing Kyle's evolution from where he started in that like horrific love triangle with him, Kara, and Paulie, where it was just like the worst thing on television I think I've ever watched. And now here he is like I think a fairly beloved person in the challenge community. It's been quite the transformation.
I mean, 2 seasons ago, we forgot him on a preview pod. Let's not forget. No, I agree. You know, this is so random, but I normally watch on YouTube TV and it was like all freaking out, so I had to like, I first went to Paramount Plus. Inexplicably, this is not on P+. I don't, whatever,
it's not that inexplicable. I'm they're horrible. They don't know what they're doing.
But while I was searching the challenge, what they have is like War of the Worlds 2. Do you already know this? Like, if I give you $1 million, to be clear, I'm not, because you might already know this, to guess who is the cover image, the two people that are the cover image of War of the Worlds 2.
I really hope Bear's not still on there. Is Georgia? I hope Georgia's not still on there.
I cannot believe that you think Georgia and Bear would be the face of that. No, but you're not far off in that. It's insane.
Seasons. Did Turbo win that season? Who won that? I don't even know who won that season.
It's Theo and Kara.
Yikes.
Well, I was like, did I not even see this season? I was like, what's going on? Not that they didn't have big seasons. But I was just like, not two people I would... It did make me miss Theo, but like to see Kara and Theo look at facing off like bitter rivals on War of the Worlds 2, the DVD. Anyway, I did manage to watch on my mommy's cable.
That was the one that was supposed to be like Bloody Hell, right? Wasn't that supposed to be the name of that one?
Brian, Mari asked you a question and you were like, oh, and I was like, yeah, Brian normally does it to me. Give it to him. Give it to him.
Bloody Hell.
But let's get to the deliberation. They're putting out, and yeah, like you said, we're surprised they're not putting out CT, but they're basically saying it's going to be Ed, Corey, or Logan. Kind of interesting that Nelson escapes consideration and not Corey here. Do they just see Corey as like the heart and soul of the Ruby? Like, without Corey, objectively, the Ruby team would be nothing.
I think they probably, and it's deservedly so, see Nelson as just an incredible elimination person, that if they think he's going to go in there and win, because he's like, he's one of the best elimination guys ever. So I think they're probably thinking like, why, like he's just that good.
But he is loyal, and would, first of all, he'd be pissed at Emerald, so he wouldn't want to infiltrate. And I do believe him when he says like he would come and stay on the team. So if that's their concern, I do think Nelson would probably be the best pick of somebody who would stay loyal to the team and stay on Sapphire.
But I think, to your point earlier, that I think they wanted to keep Logan, right? I feel like for two reasons. One, it weakens Ruby as a team. And two, if they lose, then it makes Logan an easier person to call down on for the next guy's day. So the only person that wouldn't, either you vote in Logan, or if you could vote in any vet, they're all going to pick Logan. So the only person that results in Logan not being into elimination is Ed.
Good point. I think Devin is close to Ed from like what we saw a couple episodes ago when they mapped out their alliances. So I was kind of surprised to see Devin pitching Ed. But then when Devin says to camera, and kudos to the edit and kudos to Devin's explanatory confessionals of like, my number one priority is not breaking up this team. So Ed is the most likely not going to infiltrate. Fine. And then they get to the noms and Ed throws himself in. They said in the after show, I think that like Ed knew the writing was on the wall, so he kind of just wanted to look cool.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for Ed.
I mean, that's a, I think that came across pretty clearly on the show that he was probably going in. And he gets to have a nice moment. He gets to have a nice little like pick me up from Amanda being like, oh, no, you're worthy, too. Nice to hear.
And a quick nod to Kyle. I mean, he apologizes to the Ruby team, but I think he does a good job of not saying like we would have won. Like he kisses the ring. And Kyle's pretty good at putting his ego aside and kissing up to people. So like to say like you guys killed it. You were amazing. But I'm also sorry to my team. Not like I cost the win and like taking anything away from the egos on the Emerald team.
Yeah, Kyle's good at sucking up. But sometimes it's viewed as sneaky. So here it was viewed as sucking up. It was good.
So after Ed gets like unanimously voted probably in, Michelle Marcy said, why did the after show stop showing the votes? I have to imagine this was completely unanimous.
Yeah, I would think so. I think the last two have been completely unanimous.
I think they're going to be moving forward, too, because like if they can deliberate separately, why would they vote anybody else? Like, why would someone throw a stray vote? Unless it's like Emmy's going in and Manuel doesn't want to vote.
Yeah, like, no, I could see it as we get down to it. People are going to have some certain loyalties that they're not going to want to pursue. I would love to see a split vote, not even just to see a tie,
4-2.
Yeah, even just to see some dissension amongst like the deliberation, not to make it so so simple.
All right, we'll see. But I was really, really most impressed with Logan when he was breaking down the strengths and weaknesses of Kyle and Corey, because I thought for someone who is new to the show, he has such a good read on the abilities of these two men.
Well, you know, he got the pamphlet, right? He got the scouting report going in, so he did his studying. He knows what he's talking about. Oh my god,
that feels like months. That feels like before COVID. That was pre-COVID.
Maybe he kept it. Maybe he made photocopies. He keeps it in his bed, and that's why he didn't want to cuddle up with Big T anymore. He wanted to focus on his studies for this very moment.
I mean, we'll talk about Ed's decision, but I thought Logan's advice was spot on. Like, if it's speed, you have Corey. If it's physical, it's Kyle. Corey's better at speed. Yeah. The reverse. Corey is better at speed. Kyle is better physical. The size matchups, considering, and they both suck at puzzles. Like until he said that, I forgot that you could decide based on what you see when you go down. Yeah. So
yeah, I feel like maybe Logan watched the show, because I don't know if you would have thought Corey was faster. Just like I didn't really even remember that, but then when he said that, I was like, oh right, he like flew past Darrell in that elimination. I think it was last year. Or 2 seasons ago, when it was like purely based off speed, and he just like smoked Darrell on a pure speed elimination. So like, oh yeah, that's right. Logan knows more about the show than I do, I think.
I mean, there are two things. I think we've seen clips of Corey like working out and like running up the hill. Like he might just see they had that challenge where they had to like get out of the helicopter, the car under the helicopter, and run. Like he might have just been paying attention to see that Corey is fast. Mm-hmm. And I could also see Corey giving a pep talk to, it was kind of funny because like the call was coming from inside the house. Logan was like scouting out his own teammates. I could see Corey giving Ruby a pep talk like, look, I'm quick. Kyle's physical. You know, that might just be like a repeat of Corey.
Yeah. Corey putting his foot in his mouth would not be a surprise.
I was worried from the edit that Corey, because Corey, problematic fave, I can't let it go. I love Corey. Like, I don't support his certain decisions, but he was doing his pre-elimination ritual of looking at his Polaroids of Mila and Ryder and Taylor. So I was like, oh no, it's Corey.
And maybe that's what all the FaceTimes are about. Like, they throw like so many FaceTimes at you that just by sheer chance, because there's so many of them, that probably both of them are going to be in elimination. So it's like, oh well, they both had character moments. You know, Kyle got to see the ultrasound and got to talk to his mom. Maybe one of them, who knows who will go,
right? But we go to the lair. I have to shout out Emmy for wearing like full-on pajamas to the elimination. Like, I don't give a shit. We're gonna see her in athleisure at the club next week. It looks like she's just wearing a sports bra and bike shorts, which is a chic look now apparently to wear to the club, but I just love,
oh fantastic, maybe I'll start going to the club then.
I think Emmy, I would love to see you in a bike shorts and a sports bra at the club. I'll meet you there.
Perfect.
And we get Corey with a great line, if you want the smoke you can get it, which is something I feel like I've probably said many times. But it does seem like, and Ed lays it out, like it comes down to Kyle and Corey. Is Ed making a mistake by not considering his own team? Is that a rookie move?
So he should consider his own team, but I think he's right not to for this elimination. I think the worst two picks, I think the worst three picks you can make are any of Nelson, CT, or Kyle. I thought the choice was clearly obvious to take Corey. So in a general sense, you should consider your own team to save yourself. But he wasn't really thinking about just saving himself, because obviously the right pick would have been Logan, theoretically, since he's hurt. But since that was at the table, I could not believe he didn't pick Corey.
I agree. When they get they cut to the clip of Amanda saying that like Kyle and Corey aren't his best options if he wants to come back. And I was like, what show is she watching? Because I think Corey is definitely his best option of coming back again, besides Logan. And so maybe that was just a reflection of her being like, you're an idiot, pick Logan. But
yeah.
Because they're not compensating you for being man down in the challenges, it really disincentivizes you to pick your own team. Because to decimate your own team and then get screwed in the challenge, like, I think some people would rather just survive, but...
Well, the only thing is, so they're a team of five, you pick your own team and you win. They're a team of four, you leave that team, so now you go to a stronger team, and now that team sucks, but you're off that team.
Good point. If you leave your team, but if you're planning to stay, good point.
Plan to stay, it would be stupid.
So, like, for example, the Emerald team would not be incentivized to pick anyone on their own team.
Correct.
They all seem like they want to stay.
They probably should, because again, like, they have Josh, so you should probably pick Josh.
Well, we'll talk about that because okay.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Anyway, it's Paul Russell. Talk about who doesn't watch the show. Makes the worst possible pick, even if you don't know Kyle's history with Paul Russell. But again, MTV takes care of you. I think they did a great job the history of Kyle with Paul Russell.
Yeah, I mean, this was like an NFL Films breakdown. They were going through every single history.
I don't
that
even
he's
know
had.
What that means, but I laugh.
But you know, but just by me saying, you know what it means. But like, even like during the challenge, like, they were not giving you any sense that Ed was going to win. They were, anytime it seemed like Kyle was struggling, there was a confessional of, no, Kyle's doing like what you do here. You tire him out. Even when he was on his back, seemingly like struggling, he's like, no, Kyle's got him right where he wants him. And then he flips him upside down. No, Kyle's got him right where he wants him. So the MTV was really hitting with you, like, Kyle, this is his game. He's going to dominate, and Ed does not stand a chance.
Well, that's interesting, because Robbie says, are we supposed to dislike Casey? Once an episode, she pops up out of nowhere, shit-talking someone. This week, it was Ed in the elimination. She playing up being a villain. Is this an edit? Am I just a hater? Help. And I pulled this here because I had a strong reaction to all of the vets being like, no, 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 Ed sucks. Like, he's playing this all wrong. Exactly what you said. Casey didn't stand out specifically because I think everybody was doing it. But I was like, I think Ed is doing an incredible job. Watching Ed, even if strategically it's not the best decision, literally lift Kyle up and drop him on his head multiple times, as Devin says in the after show, like a human plunger. Girl Devin, not Devin on the show. I was so impressed by Ed. So having it cut with people shit-talking him was frustrating to me.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't think Ed's strategy was that bad either. I don't even know what the good strategy is. Everyone says, like, you just can't tire yourself out. But it, I mean, it's a best of three, so you can't like let someone win the first round. So you have to give everything you have. So I don't even know what the right strategy would be, but I was just going based off what everyone else said, which was he was doing something horrifically wrong. So I imagine he was doing something horrifically wrong.
I mean, like, to me, if you drop me, God forbid, on my neck, I'm letting go out of like wanting to protect myself. Like, he didn't bet on Kyle being an absolute madman, but I think two or three tombstones and you're like, someone's going to let go of the pole just to submit.
With the neck tattoo, it takes five tombstones, though. Everyone knows that.
Well, he gave it to him, I think. It was crazy. And again, not to take anything away from Kyle. Kyle put up the fight of his life. It was unbelievable. This was a really good elimination, I thought.
It was good. It was very good. Hate to see Ed go. TJ was very disappointed to see Ed go. He really, really hopes we see him in the future. Again, I think so. Maybe it was TJ who loves Ed so much. And like after the show, he was like, we need Ed. Put Ed in more scenes. I don't know what they are, but just find Ed. Put him in scenes.
You think TJ is giving notes? He's watching the
footage? I don't know. I can't explain all the other Ed scenes. And I think this gives us a first into it.
Kyle makes a comment at the end, too. I somehow get it done, don't I? And I just thought that was the perfect, if I were to pick one sentence to surmise Kyle's time on the show, I somehow get it done, don't I? Like, I'm not the best. I don't know how.
Close the podcast like that.
Yeah, you somehow get it done, don't I? It also works for us. That's our merch. RHAP put out new merch. Where are people, people, I guess, just don't want our merch. It's fine.
We somehow get it done.
I somehow get it done, don't I? With like just like glow in the dark, like a Cheshire Cat teeth. Mm-hmm. It's just Kyle's teeth.
Yep.
We'll pay him royalties on that.
And then Kyle, in true Kyle form, the way he can't even switch teams like in a normal way. He said, what do you say? His grandfather had a saying that when you have a chance to leave Ruby and go to Sapphire, you do it. You got to do it.
I thought that was so funny. And so did TJ and so did everyone. Yeah. It's a masterclass in how to leave your team with a smile, unlike CT. But Kyle Picard.
Was it though? I mean, I don't know if it was. I mean, everyone, TJ loved it. Everyone else hated it. So.
Oh, I thought people were like, haha.
I mean, I think they might have been laughing at like the line, but the action, they were not too.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I thought it was a good line. Like, it was lighthearted. Sure, it's not personal. He doesn't say, like, and he makes it purely about CT, which I think everyone can relate to. It's not like he shits on Ruby or he, like, overly celebrates. I don't know. I just thought I liked it.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. It was very funny.
Well, Kyle, I guess in Devin's mind, it's take Emmanuel off, bump Emmanuel off of Emerald, or bump Nelson off of Blue Sapphire. Kyle Picard, which, by the way, happy belated birthday to the great Kyle Picard.
Yes.
Why not switch with Josh? And that's what great I was thinking. Though. How are you not bumping Josh? Kudos to Josh for making himself. And maybe it's the Vet Alliance that you're saying. Like, how are you not taking Josh off this team?
It's a great question. You put Josh on Ruby, and it's like, first of all, I think Josh and Corey would probably kill each other in a challenge. So I don't know how they would be able to work together. And then, I mean, I think it's just the power of CT. He just wants to work with him. He just wants to be on his team. So being with CT trumps probably being in a better situation, but maybe in his mind, being with CT is the better situation.
He also said in the after show that he thought he could just step in and take Ed's place and stay with Nelson. And then TJ was like, no, 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 you have to bump someone off. And then he was like, OK, I'll bump off Nelson, which everyone saw happen, but obviously didn't make air. Maybe that eases the blow for Nelson. I don't know.
I also think for Kyle's survival, just thinking this out now more ahead, it really makes more sense to go to the 3-person team, because if you lose, first of all, just by numbers, there's more people that could be voted in. There's more people that could be chosen to go down. So just it increases your chances of staying. And you'll be sitting next to Devin, I like Devin, but if you're thinking about people to call down in an elimination that seems physical, you're going to choose Devin over someone like Kyle or Emmanuel almost every day of the week. So I get wanting to be on CT's team, but like for your survival, which I feel like that Kyle's always number one thing, just looking out for himself, it really makes the most sense to go to the 3-person when you have three guys on your team.
Yeah, no, you're right. And look, if you end up, I think maybe he considers himself the closest with CT, Devin, or just CT and Devin. And Devin has probably expressed a disinterest in him infiltrating for whatever reason, Josh. And so he's not bumping off CT and he's not bumping anyone in Devin's team. So I'm not pissing off my allies kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And if Ruby wins, then somebody else is more likely to call in Devin or Josh. And if Emerald wins, Corey and Nelson have been the biggest targets of the rookie team. Maybe that's the thought. But I think it's an upgrade for Ruby, if only from a chemistry perspective. Like, I think Nelson is replacement level for Kyle, at least in challenges. Mm-hmm. And the chemistry is so much better and team morale.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Corey and Nelson have to be thrilled to be working together now. I think, especially Corey, I don't know how, Nelson's probably happy, but Corey's extra happy to have Nelson there.
And as you said, CT's mad. Like, he's a loose cannon. He calls him a disruptive weasel. Whereas you said last week, you know, CT wants just workhorses and Ed and Nelson who will just listen to his direction. And Kyle can't even listen to TJ and follow the rules.
Right. Can't even wear the same color at a team outing.
Caitlin G says, do you think it was a smart move to put Nelson and Corey on the same team? If Ruby ever happens to win, now you can't choose Corey or Nelson or Logan, all of whom seem to be expendable to the Alliance. So this is a great point. It's not just who you're joining, it's who you're leaving behind.
Yeah, it's a great point. The Corey, Nelson, and Logan would probably be the three lowest on the totem pole. So yeah, and if they happen to pull one out here, they're going to have to turn on each other.
And again, I think part of it is Kyle didn't totally think that through because he thought Nelson would stay on the team. But also he more than anyone completely underestimates Ruby. Like Sapphire came in last in this challenge and Kyle were on the team and not Nelson, you know, it wouldn't have helped.
Right. All fair points.
Alrighty. Anything else from the after show? I did like that Kyle had a sunny type issue at the beginning of the after show. They played it. His dog was going ham.
Yeah. I didn't watch the other show, I'll be honest.
You didn't miss anything. I told it all.
And if you saw the coming attraction, though, big moment for TJ. TJ next week is his 500th episode.
Okay.
I think he said his. I couldn't tell if he said his or the show. I don't really fully remember which one it was, but some type of 500 episode is coming next week.
I thought it was the show and not his, because I can't tell if that feels light or not, if it was 500 with him or 500 with the show, I mean.
Well, let's see. This is what? Season 37. He started probably around season 15, 12. Let's say it was 12 to make it easy.
Let's do 500 divided by 37. To see roughly how many episodes
13 and a half episodes. But like, it's weird because like back in the day, it was like half hour episodes and they could have been like 20. It was like 20 episodes.
But
it was like,
yeah, but hour. I think that's too light then if it's roughly 12 episodes a season, because we've had like 20 something episodes.
Yeah. So I think it's probably TJ's 500, right?
Weird to not mark the 500 episode of the show, though, and mark TJ's 500 episode.
Right. Also, I mean, I'd be curious where he now. I don't remember how he announced it, but theoretically, like, he's basing it off like what number daily they're on, but it could have, like, I mean, there's been coming attracts, like, they've been to be continued and stuff. So I wonder if they just have to splice that. I'd be very curious if that's one of those where he's saying it on the show, or if it's spliced in and they just weren't sure which was going to be the episode that's the 500th.
All right, we'll see next week. Speaking of milestones, you mentioned this last week. I just want to thank everyone. We smashed the hell out of it. We still have a 5.0 rating with over 1,000 ratings. Thank you guys so much for your support through these last 7 years. We really appreciate it. And it just keeps getting better. So we really, really appreciate it.
Quick update, by the way.
Yep.
Yes, thank you to everyone. I went to IMDb. The challenge, according to IMDb, has 576 episodes.
Okay.
So this is TJ's 500th for sure.
That's wild that he only missed 70-something episodes. But
I know.
As someone who did a project on the challenge in school, a college-level project on the challenge, it's very difficult to count when the episodes were and were. So, like, I don't know that we can even get an accurate count without TJ of how many episodes.
And I think I overshot, I don't know what would be the correct word here, but when he started. I think he started before season 12. Would I overshot it?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
If he started before season 12, saying he started season 12 would be overshooting it, right?
Thank you to McHamburger and to Skywar P. Gold. We really appreciate it. If you want to let us know how you're feeling about the season, you can go to robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. If you can understand what Brian is saying, let us know in a review. I'm sure it's very clear and I've just hit a wall. As you pointed out very accurately last week, we have a lot of Mushagas to get to.
Yes, we do.
So let's get to it.
All righty. We can start with the drinking game. Kyle Picard, happy belated birthday again. All right. There were 28 drinks for the week.
Oh, my God. Poor Kyle. He's going to quit.
Yeah, I feel really bad. There's
you
a
know
lot
what, Kyle?
Of
you're fired. We'll put you out of your misery. Don't worry about it.
Maybe like jumping ahead. But do you think, have we reached the stage in the season where we should start removing stuff for his sake?
Oh my God, I'm so crazed because Brian, we share a brain, because when I was listening and Mario was picking a rule, whatever, I was like thinking about my rule this week. I was like, I don't have anything. You know what? Like, I don't have anything. Should we just stop adding rules? And so the fact that you're coming to the table. Yeah, let's remove. And then as we go into the final, we'll add a couple for just the final.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So for the scores for this week, there were two eating, CT and Ed, which I think is going to be the one I cut. Spoiler alert. Three, Kyle's teeth. One, TJ wanting someone back. Five, slow motions. Two uses of the wrong color.
Did Kyle count a drink for the slow-mo they did on Survivor last night?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It was very, I turned to you. We were watching dinner. I was like, it's like the challenge.
I think there were five slow motions in Survivor, too. there were two people talking about their kids with Kyle and Amanda. One, Mitch Watch, he said his deliberation speech, which I don't think we mentioned, was very long, which was also kind of funny. The way the kids started yawning, I think, in the stands was very funny. And eight, headbands.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of... go ahead.
Headbands? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm getting rid of headbands because it's like, I think it was supposed to be like weird headwear, but it wasn't clear, so let's just get rid of it.
All right, so headband and eating are cut. There was also one Corey and Nelson together, which feels low. Well, that's going to shoot up next week. Oh, boy. Good luck with that. And three times someone talks about what they're going to do with the money.
Stop criticizing Kyle.
What
I
criticize?
It seems low.
What seemed low? Oh, for Corey. I know. I'm sorry. But that's going to shoot up. I'm sorry.
I didn't criticize. Like literally a narrator. He criticized. What would have been your rule? Let's decide if we want to add it, if it doesn't seem insane.
Also I didn't have one, so that was like my out. So,
all right, I want to add a rule because it's not that bad, and I don't. Do we have when someone infiltrates a partner?
No. Oh, because we have that, and like we used to have that in the DVs, so we didn't have that here.
Okay, let's do when someone infiltrates a team, because that's not so crazy to keep track of. And sure. I think we could have with the DDs done the person you infiltrate, like Nelson would have lost a half point, but we decided not to do it. So let's throw it in the drinking game, and with that, beep beep. Here come the DDs.
All right. Short week for them and for the scoring.
I was like, who's short? No. We've never seen these people stand.
For this week, the only
they're
actionable
in a car,
items...
Brian. They're not standing.
What?
The DDs. You said short.
Oh, got it. One point for Bettina, no confessionals. I don't think she even appeared. They didn't show her do the daily. Should there be a bonus point for like zero overtime?
She did jump off right after Ashley.
Yeah, I don't think they even said, all right, Bettina, you're up. I think she was just gone. 1 point for
Houdini off the satellite.
She got like 5 points for a Houdini episode. 1 point for Ed, for Matt winning, losing his elimination, and I lost a point for Kyle winning his elimination. So that brings us very tight. We are at 28, Matt and Scally at 27.5 points. So we are nearly deadlocked.
I won't do this every week, but who had Nelson? I'm just out of curiosity if we did make that a...
You have Nelson.
Love that we did that. Thank you to the GDs. No change.
Well, what if the person's... Wouldn't you have gained the half point?
Oh, yep. Okay. Well, let's... Okay. Maybe we should damn rethink that. DDs. Maybe we should rethink that.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
I think the DDs do not shy away from making things complicated. I think they were ready to pitch us on this, and we were like, listen. Let's just do nothing.
What I think it's going to come down to, which I think is what it should come down to, is going to come down to who wins. I think that's going to swing the balance, and I think that kind of makes sense for a must-lose draft. Having the winner should really hurt you, and I think that's what it's going to come down to.
It's interesting, because I think the idea would have been it also could have come down to like early elimination, like early disappearances versus later ones.
We were pretty even,
though,
with that. We were pretty even, so I think that kind of spread it out. But I guess we'll see. I mean, if like 10 people are making a final, it could actually spread things out, too.
All right, we'll see. And no social this week. Megan is digital communication manager. Megan Elizabeth and all of us need a break.
One tweet I saw that was very funny from Amanda was saying that the reason why Tori was rooting so strongly for Kyle against Ed was because Ed turned Tori down.
Which is her continuation of why she was rooting for Ed in the past.
And Amanda's she just holds no punches to like almost anyone. Like she'll just let it rip.
Also, Fessy, you guys covered Fessy last week and Amanda, but Fessy was seen with Amanda in Colorado.
Yeah.
I just can't be bothered. All right. And let's get to the last thing is that Sophie Hovis watched Nani and Casey's Instagram Live where Nani mentioned the reunion is filming in Amsterdam, which is potentially why there's a different standard for vaccines on the after show versus the reunion. So thank you to Sophie for calling that out. And also she mentioned that Nani's like, we haven't been watching the episodes, but we get served way less alcohol than we used to. Thank you to Nani for that.
Watch your damn show. I hate when people say that. Watch your own show. Come on.
Do you listen to this podcast?
I listen to parts just to make sure everything sounds clean.
The key is we don't comment about it. All right, I ordered dinner, so I'm going to get out of here.
If there was a reunion on this podcast, I would listen to the podcast to make sure I know to talk about it appropriately. But yes, we will be back next week for episode 12. You can subscribe. robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore. And where can they follow and catch you?
At Last Tweets.
We'll be back next week. Until then, have a good one.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.